Well, I do want to thank you all for being here. Today we are going to be talking about Older Americans 2016, which is a report put out by the U.S. government assessing older American well-being. And before we start, I want to make sure that everyone was able to find the handout that we'll be talking about today. The handout isn't critical, but it does give you some examples of what is in the report and some information about how to utilize what's in the report. So anyone who doesn't have it in front of them, it was in the reminder email. A link to it was in the reminder email that you got, so you can go back to that, or you can go to the Internal Extension Aging website, which is blogs.ces.uwex.edu/aging. And once you're there, on the right-hand side, if you scroll down, there's a section called Fresh Press, far right-hand side. And under that, there's a link for Older Americans 2016, which brings you to the blog post about this particular session. And if you scroll down a little bit under about this presentation, there's a picture for the Federal Interagency Forum on Aging. Underneath that, it says handout to follow along during call. And then there's a link, Super Cool Tools, Older Americans 2016. So if you don't have the handout, like I said, you don't need it, but if you do want to follow along, those are the places you can find it. And so I just want to start by telling you a little bit about what Older Americans 2016 is. It is, as I said, a report that is put together by the government, and it provides data on 41 key indicators of older American lives and their families. And the information, the data that they use, comes from a lot of different national-level data sources. So some are census data, but there is a really long laundry list of data that they compiled and pulled together in order to assess these 41 indicators. And it covers, you know, when we think of health and well-being, we often think of, like, chronic health conditions. That's one thing that it covers, but it covers everything from demographic information about the population, economic issues, including things like housing, poverty, and where older adults are getting their money from, how much of it is Social Security, how much of it is other sources of income, environmental characteristics, health status, health risks and behaviors, health care, and then this particular version of Older Americans has a special feature on informal caregiving, which is dear to my heart, and so something that I think is really interesting. So if you are looking at the handout, you can see that the first page is a little bit about how to use this particular resource. So if you're on the Older Americans 2016 website, which is agingstats.gov, you can download the full report, which is a nice long document that has all of the information available. It has a nice navigation feature, so it's got tabs on the side so that you can sort through and just pull up the sections that you're interested in, or you can kind of scroll through the whole thing. If you're just interested in the figures that they provide, you can download a PowerPoint file that has the figures, all of them, and then you can pull from that for your own presentation. Or if you want to look at the nitty-gritty data, you can actually download Excel files that have that information, so you can dig into the data yourself if that's something you're interested in. And so what I want to do today is just walk through a few examples of what the report contains to sort of get your brains going about how this might be useful for you. There's a lot of really fantastic figures. Some of them are really simple. Some of them are really complicated. And a lot of them can be useful as you are thinking about the needs in your community, as you're talking to county boards, as you're talking to constituents, to sort of indicate what it is that's going on a national level for older Americans. So if you flip to the second page of the handout, it says key indicators of well-being samples. The first one that we see here is something that we are all pretty familiar with, which is the fact that the number of older Americans are increasing. And the graph here shows over time, from 1900 to the present and then projecting into the future, how the proportion, the number of adults 65 and older has grown and will likely continue to grow. So this is something that most of us are familiar with. This is a different graph than what I've used before in my own presentations. What's really great about this whole booklet, this whole report, is that not only does it give you some really nice data visualizations and give you access to the data, it also has some really detailed explanations of what you're seeing in the figures. So in this case, the explanation is the growth of population age 65 and older affects many aspects of our society, presenting challenges to families, businesses, healthcare providers, and policymakers, among others, to meet the needs of aging individuals, and then it shows that graph. So as you go through this report and try to find things that might be useful for you, or as you're looking for data visualizations to help you make your key points, this has some nice explanations that can help you as you're talking about that and can help you as you're reading through these figures. So that is just one example of the demographic figures that are available. There are lots of others, and we just picked out one to be able to display that. But they've got everything from race, ethnicity, marital status, educational attainment, living arrangements, if they're living alone or not, and that's actually the next one on this list, is indicator 5, living arrangements. I picked this one to demonstrate that they don't just show overall information. They also parse it out by gender, by race, ethnicity, or by other categories that might be relevant. This living arrangements indicator is particularly interesting to me because it is split out by men and women and then also by race, ethnicity. So if you look at the first bar chart there, you can see the total number of people who are living alone, with relatives, with non-relatives, or with spouses. And among women, for example, about 36% of women age 65 and older in the total population live alone. But when you look at black women, they are much more likely to live alone. 43% of them live alone, which could be an important risk factor for your community if there are issues in your community with falls, with senior isolation. That could indicate that, this shows that at a national level, there are differences, which could indicate that it might be something that you want to look at on your own community level as well. So they do pull this information out by race, ethnicity, and by gender. So the next thing that I want to highlight is that they do talk about chronic conditions as well. And so that's the next indicator on this list. It's indicator 17, chronic health conditions. And this is showing the percentage of people age 65 and older who report having selected health conditions. So there's lots of others that they could have looked at. They just picked out a few that are important. Things that I think are interesting here are the fact that more men than women have heart disease, which is the first indicator. And if you go all the way over to the last indicator, arthritis, we're looking at many more women than men. In fact, I did not know that 54% of older women experience arthritis. That's surprising to me. And so this is something that can maybe feed what you might be looking at in your communities. I was a little bit surprised that mental health didn't make it onto this list, but then I looked back in the report, and that's because depression on its own actually gets two slides to talk about what's going on over time and what's going on in communities related to depressive symptoms in men and women. Okay, so a couple more indicators that I want to jump to here. If you flip to the next page, we have indicator 7, which is poverty. And I mentioned that there are there's a whole section on economic indicators. Poverty is sort of the simplest measure to look at, and this shows poverty over time, showing that on a national level, the number of older adults living in poverty has actually gone down over time compared to the 1960s, but has sort of been hanging steady over the past several decades. And that could be different on a local level than what we see on a national level. But there's also some really interesting information about sources of income, Social Security benefits, retirement assets for populations over time, sort of looking at the total amount held in retirement funds, labor force participation, housing problems that seniors experience, and expenditures, how seniors are spending their money, what proportion are going to food versus housing versus transportation versus healthcare, which can be really interesting to look at. And then the last figure that we have here, just to highlight the information that is in this booklet, there's that special feature on informal caregiving. And this is sort of the baseline figure from that special feature showing the number of individuals who report being informal caregivers by age and sex. And I like this figure a lot because it really emphasizes that caregiving is not an issue just related to older adults and seniors. It's something that happens in younger age groups as well, and especially in that middle age, 45 to 65 age group. There's a big group of caregivers who are in middle age and are now aging. And this figure, I think, does a really nice job of highlighting that. Because a lot of times when we think about informal caregiving, we're thinking that that's older adults specifically, and it's not necessarily just older adults. It affects people in middle age and younger as well. And again, there's really great explanations in this book, talking about the fact that approximately 2.7 million caregivers in the youngest group, those less than 45, most were adult children or grandchildren of the person that they're caring for. So this is just some examples of what's in this report that can be helpful. You are trying to find ways to visualize what's going on nationally, and think about that as you communicate with the different groups that you work with. I do want to point out that there are hard copies of this report available. It's all available online, but if you go to the Frequently Asked Questions section of that Aging Stats website, there is a link where you can request a hard copy report. And that might be nice to bring to meetings, to be able to flip through something that is actually physically in your hands, and to maybe pass around if there are groups of people who are interested in looking at some of these figures and flipping through to find things that speak to them. So the last point I want to make is that this is national data. And so that's interesting, but it's not always representative of what's going on in our individual communities. And so I did, on that first page of the handout and in the blog post, provide some resources for more localized data. So if you're interested in what's happening in your community, in your county, in your region of the state, there are some places that you can go to find this information. So one example is county health rankings, which I would guess that most of you have heard about and some of you have probably even explored. But that is a place where you can look at some of these key indicators of well-being on a county level and see how one county ranks in comparison to the rest of the counties in the state, as well as sort of identify places that determinants of health can be improved on a community-to-community basis. For state-level information, you can look at the Wisconsin Interactive Statistics for Health. The acronym is WISH, and this is state-level data that pulls on data from the census and other places in order to provide some visualizations and some information about health indicators in Wisconsin. There's the Applied Population Lab, which we talked about a couple months ago. They have a great Get Facts website that provides information about demographics and other factors on a county level and even getting down to a municipality level or even a smaller block group level as well. And you can go back to the first coffee break where we talked about that to kind of get a how-to, a walkthrough on how to use that website so that you can jump off that and use it to find what information you need. And then there's information from the Institute for Research on Poverty. They have tips and resources that has basic information about other sources of local data available online for the state and for the Midwest as a region. So you can use that if you are looking for something that isn't encompassed by one of those other more localized data sources to pull in some additional information. So that is the report, and I'm open to questions and conversation.
Could you repeat that last report, please?
So the last one is the Institute for Research on Poverty, which is through the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And the link that is provided in the handout and in the website is to a frequently asked question page that provides tips and resources for finding additional sources of local data. There's lots of them, so I'm not going to go through all of them, but it's a really nice resource if you're on the search for something that you haven't been able to find from other places.
Got it. I see it now. Thanks.
And thanks, Chris.
Go ahead.
Yep. This is Jane. Sorry. I know it's hard to be on cell phone. But thanks for putting this handout together because it really kind of gives us highlights, and I was really easily able to follow along. So thanks. And this is great stuff because good stuff to share with my Family Caregivers Coalition Steering Committee. So thank you.
Absolutely. One thing that I didn't mention when it comes to caregiving data, it is a little bit hard to find caregiving information on a local level because most of the national and the statewide surveys that we draw this information from don't include a caregiving question, or if they do, there's not enough information from an individual county or community just because of the size of the survey to gather good estimates that we can be confident in. However, I have been working with some colleagues at the state level, and for about half the counties in Wisconsin, I do have estimates of county-level caregiver reports, so what proportion of people in some of the counties report being caregivers in the past 12 months, I think it is. So if you want that, please contact me and let me know. I'm happy to share that information. I don't have it for all the counties because we just didn't have enough information, especially for some of the more rural counties. But if you want to know if we've got that and if you want that information, I'm happy to share it with you, along with any caveats that I might have. Some of the counties, we have an estimate, but we're not really confident in it. So I can share that, but it changes how we use it. And for some of the counties, we have good, strong estimates that we can be pretty confident in. So please let me know if you would like that information. Just shoot me an email and I'll share it.
That's great, great to know, Kristen. Thank you. Because that's always the challenge at our local level, to know that as we try to do outreach and provide resources to family caregivers, like, you know, how many and where are they and that kind of thing. So thank you very much.
Yes, yep. And I'm hoping that at some point for the caregiving data specifically, at least for some of the larger counties, we'll be able to dig down into some of that more nitty-gritty information. So not just, you know, how many caregivers are we looking at, but also who they are, what proportion are caring for a parent versus caring for a spouse versus caring for a child. And we don't have enough data on that yet, but I'm hoping if we can start compiling multiple years of data together, we'll be able to develop some of those estimates that we can be a little bit more confident in and just have a little bit more information about what we see at local levels.
Kristen, this is Chris Kniep, and working on the grandparents thing here and with the neighboring counties, Dan Vierhoff was able to provide Wisconsin County grandchildren data for that element of caregiving. So that I know is out there.
Okay.
He ran a couple of reports for me. One was called Grandchildren Under 18 Years Living with a Grandparent, and then one if there was grandparenting responsibility and presence of a parent in addition to. So they were helpful for us.
Okay. I might try to hunt that down and see if I can get it posted onto the internal website so that information is available to everyone. So, Chris, I might follow up with you to see if you can help me find that. Thank you.
You bet.
Kristen, this is Sarah. I just want to echo what Jane said about the handout. It's very nice. You did a great job putting this together. And
I can't take credit for that. That's all Libby.
Oh, great job, Libby.
Oh, man, that Libby.
We love our Libby.
But I was wondering, is this, because it's laid out so nicely and it's very user-friendly, is this something that we can share with our partners, or is
Absolutely.
This for internal?
It's created for internal use. It's created so that we can have these phone calls, and you can have something to look at, but we don't have to be face to face, and we don't have to try to do the screen share, which we did the first week, and that worked for some people and did not work so well for others. So it's intended to be an internal handout, but you're welcome to share it. It's all information that is publicly available. So please do feel free to share it with your partners, with your county board members, with your constituents, anyone who you think would benefit from it. Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay, great, because we're working on our trip right now, and I know in my county it's always kind of been aging and health are so separate, and now they're starting to see the connection and that aging is to be considered as a health issue. And so I think that seeing these resources and this data can maybe help open their eyes a little bit more to the issues that older adults are facing. So I'd really like to share it with my CHIP group.
Please do. That would be wonderful.
Thanks.
So I'm hoping that this is a tool that will be useful for you. I really wanted to bring this up because I didn't know about it. And apparently this is not the first Older Americans draft, but it is the most recent one. So even just knowing that this is out there and that you can get a hard copy or that you can pull this PowerPoint file and just be able to pull figures directly out of it, I'm hoping that that will be useful for you as you are thinking about your communities, as you're presenting on them. I think just even knowing that this exists gives you a source of information that you can leverage throughout the course of the year. And, of course, I will update when the next one comes out. I'm not sure if they do these annually or biannually or what the schedule is, but whenever there's a newer Older Americans indicator report that comes out, I will be passing that information along as well.
Kristen, this is Jane again. I mean, this is just also, an important role that we can play as UW Extension in our local counties to provide good data as they go forward in developing the CHIP or even what our Family Caregivers Coalitions look at in terms of developing and that kind of thing. So I appreciate, having good sources of data.
Well, that is what I'm here for, to some degree. Other questions, comments, anything else anyone wants to discuss? All right. Well, we were nice and efficient today, which is sort of the goal of these coffee breaks. Keep them short, keep them sweet, provide information and discussion. If you do have questions or comments or want to talk about this more, please let me know. Coming up in our coffee break schedule, I have the schedule for the rest of the sort of academic year set up, which I'm excited that we got to put together. Next time, we will be talking about ageism, which is a topic that I'm really excited about, and it will come with some pre-work. You'll get that probably about a week beforehand. It's an implicit bias test related to aging to help you and whoever you want to send it to think about how your unintended biases might be coloring your opinion of older adults and younger adults simultaneously. And then we'll talk a little bit about how to combat ageism and why it's important. So I'm really excited about that one. The next three presentations after that will be about how people change over time as they age in terms of their finances, their health, and their relationships. So not just looking at how do older adults differ from younger adults, but what actually happens to individuals as they change over time and as they age in their development. And then hopefully, this is tentative, but I'm hoping to have a guest speaker come in to talk about naturally occurring retirement communities in Wisconsin. And then our last session for the academic year in May, I want to have a group conversation about publishing as extension professionals. Hear from some people who have experience with publishing, hear from people who want to publish or need to publish but don't quite know where to start, and use that to start creating some resources and some groups to help publishing occur more often and more easily for all of our extension colleagues. So that's where we're going. Last chance for questions or comments.
This is Chris, and Kristen, I'm not sure if this is... Okay, so here's the question. It's not specific to today's topic, or do you want to wait for that for a minute later?
No, you can talk. Yep, go for it.
I'm working on, we have a group in Oshkosh called Collaboration Work Group where we bring in presentations each month to make sure everybody knows what's going on in the community, identify issues, and do other things. In one of the upcoming months, the focus is generations. And I'm wondering, but we're not wanting to have a presentation on generations that says baby boomers and millennials and stuff like that. I'm wondering if is the approach of ageism really more one that would be less putting people in categories and characteristics that might be the approach that we look at? Whereas is ageism primarily focused on looking at older adults?
So you could contextualize it however you want to, because ageism could be about younger people too, right? I mean, ageism happens at all ends of the lifespan.
So give me a definition of ageism.
Right. So the way that I am conceptualizing ageism for our purposes is how implicit bias impacts older adults. So it's things like when you think of older adults, do the words spry and wise come to mind, or do the words frail and feeble-minded come to mind? And if it's frail and feeble-minded, then if that's how we think about older adults, if that's how we communicate with older adults, that impacts the outcomes for older adults, and it also impacts the way that our community functions.
Mm-hmm.
If it's spry and wise, then that's a completely different mindset that we're bringing to interactions with older adults, and that very much changes the way that the culture in our community and the way that services are provided in the community. And so it's those subtle things that mm-hmm. maybe we don't think about very much, but that very much have a strong impact on outcomes for individuals and for their families. So that's the way I'm conceptualizing it. But you can also talk about ageism directed towards millennials, right? When you think about the standard definition of, oh, millennials are entitled, or, millennials, they're stuck on their smartphones all the time. That's a different kind of ageism. When you think about it in the workplace, there can be age discrimination related to older adults. There can also be age discrimination related to younger adults. So it doesn't have to fit into those distinct generational categories. You can talk about it much more generally than that, and you can talk about how ageism can play out for all age groups if you want to talk about it that way. That's not the way I'm specifically going to be talking about ageism towards older adults when I give my sessions, but if you want to conceptualize it differently, you can, and I'm happy to help you find resources to support that.
That's really helpful, because as the planning group talked about it, we want it to be a positive discussion and
yeah.
not a pigeonholing kind of labeling discussion about about people and working with people either as a colleague or as a client. Just trying to get it organized at this point, but what you said just struck a chord with that effort as well. So
yeah, I'm happy to talk that through with you if you want, send you whatever resources I have, because you can definitely talk about it. You can frame it in a positive way,
right.
And you can frame it in a non-pigeonholing way, which
right.
I think is a great way to approach it.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I will be in touch with you. And thanks for these. They're great. Appreciate them.
Good. Glad you like them. Any other comments, questions, discussion points?
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Everyone, enjoy your Friday. I hope it's nice out and you get to go outside and enjoy some good weather. And I hope you all have a very lovely weekend. Don't forget to roll your clocks back on Sunday.
Oh, yay.
Another hour.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.